Welcome, everyone, to The Enthusiast Life. I am your host, Mark Turcotte. I'm so glad each and every one of you have decided to make me a part of your day. Well, my friends, it is Friday, June 17th, 2022. And boy, you know, this episode is going to be a little bit later than normal, but hey, I'm getting it out to you, right? This is my breakdown of part five of Obi-Wan Kenobi. So as always, if you have not seen the episode yet, do yourself a favor. Don't listen to the podcast. Go watch it, because man, what an episode it was. Come on back, because I'll be here to kind of break it all down and give you my thoughts on the episode. So, spoiler alert, of course, that has been your warning. So let's jump in here. And my goodness, there's a lot to talk about with this episode. First up, I mean, we got to talk about Reva, right? I mean, it had been speculated for a long time that Reva may have been one of those younglings there when Order 66 happened. And sure enough, we got confirmation that it was, as well as not only because here's the thing. I think a lot of people had been speculating that Reva, was a Jedi. I mean, they flat out said it. You were once a Jedi. You've come in with us. That, you know, maybe they had found a way to kind of turn her, right? You know, I mean, look, Anakin turned to the dark side, right? I mean, he was at one point a Jedi as well. So maybe she went along that same path. But no, we learned, and, you know, obviously, this episode had a disclaimer in the beginning that, you know, some scenes may be a little too much for people, especially given current events that's been happening here in the United States. We got a bit more of Order 66 to the point where, you know, we learned that Reva was there. We got a scene of Anakin coming into the temple. We even saw a youngling take a blaster to the chest at one point, but we learned that she hid under the dead bodies, and basically played dead. We didn't get the rest of it, though, right, as to how they were able to fully bring her into the fold, and we may get that. There's been some rumors about a potential Reva series. For me, I mean, I was already intrigued by this character, but now I almost think, like, we need to get that series, right? Like, why even spend this time with her if we're not going to get that? And even if it's in a book, I mean, I'll take that. Like, I want to know more of that story of her. Essentially, now, this was kind of the culmination of what is her plot to kill Anakin Skywalker, to kill Darth Vader, to basically, I'm not going to say infiltrate, because obviously she was just able to do it, to become one, of this group here, of these Inquisitors, and be able to take him down. Obi-Wan, you can tell, kind of senses that in her and says he wants to talk to her. You know, I think he was maybe seeing a little bit more into her than what we first thought. You know, the idea that he basically says, you know, when everything kind of hits the fan on Jabim, is that the name of the place? I might be saying that wrong now. My memory might be escaping me there. Saying, I want to talk to her. We're ready to negotiate, you know. And when they go to the wall and have that conversation, I mean, that was some heavy stuff right there of them having that talk and, you know, him realizing that she was there, which begs the question, did she know Grogu? You know, I don't know, you know, maybe. Are we going to see more of Reva in the future, like moving forward? Because kind of where she ends at the end, took a little lightsaber to the gut. You know, maybe she's going to become one of the mods, right? And kind of get some sort of bionetic abdomen like we kind of saw in Book of Boba Fett, some of the characters getting. I don't know. And, you know, to kind of go right to the end, she finds Obi-Wan's transponder with Bail Organa giving the call out. And she learns of Luke. Right? And Obi-Wan senses that. He gets that disturbance in the Force, not really knowing exactly what it is at the moment, not knowing that he's lost his transponder. But now someone else knows. That's kind of out of the fold, right? That's out of the group. I couldn't see her taking that information to Vader, especially after the fight. I mean, which, by the way, she, you know, tries to go after Vader. He doesn't let it happen. He stops her blade from spinning, takes it from her, breaks it in half, tosses her a piece, and is like, let's go. what a scene. Like, really, just again, showing more that power of Vader, you know, that he no longer is the Padawan, that he is the master. Which, I mean, we even got some glimpses of that, right? I think the scenes that was supposed to be Obi-Wan and Anakin from what seemed to be Clone Wars era, right? Or you know, I'm sorry, Attack of the Clones era, the second film, looked great. I mean, you could tell it looked like Ewan, his beard kind of looked like a little Hollywood beard on there. That beard actually didn't look totally real. And I don't know if they use a little bit of the de-aging technology there. But I love those scenes. I mean, right away, I was just getting goosebumps watching that. Like, here's these two actors who we've known and loved for years playing these roles, literally playing those roles again in the time period, in, you know, what makes sense in the story. I love those scenes. And, you know, in the end, the lesson kind of that Anakin learned from that, right, was Obi-Wan essentially, you know, in better words than what I'm going to say, is essentially like, hey, you know, you always want to win. And all you see is that end of winning and being the winner and not looking at kind of what's in the moment. And that's why you'll always be my Padawan and I'll be your master. Like basically saying, like, you're not ready yet. You're not ready to be a Jedi Knight. We get a little bit of that angsty Anakin, which I like that, because, you know, I think that always just adds kind of to the lore and fiction of him having that turn later on, and all throughout his whole life, essentially, always having that pull towards the dark side. You know, he's never been able to settle in with the Force. So kind of that whole arc throughout this episode, I thought was kind of great, and kind of just seeing that as the episode progressed and keep flashing back to it, I thought was a great little technique they used to kind of present that to us. We get a very, very kind of heartbreaking story from Tala. Of her, you know, joining up with the Empire when everything went down. She thought it was the right thing, which we knew that she had done that, and she said when things went wrong. But we learned, what was it, 14 people they had captured, four or more than that, like six of which were children, and they were all executed. And she was there, and she couldn't do anything. She says, Obi-Wan, there was nothing I could do. And there wasn't, right? Because otherwise she's, you know, putting her life on the line. So she basically then dedicated her life. So we learn about both Tala and Reva in this episode, both dedicating their lives to stopping the Empire and what they're doing, and more specifically, even with the Inquisitors, right? Stopping them from killing Force sensitives. The interesting bit, though, is they both did it in different methods. Like, they both went undercover to become spies. Tala doesn't take part in the stuff. You know, she kind of seems like she really kind of blurred and kind of walked that thin line, where Reva seems like she totally went over it. Reva was, I mean, how many Jedi has she killed throughout all this? You know, like, what else has she done really just to achieve her goal of trying to take out Anakin? Who knows? And then, you know, that really begs the question, how many more like them are there? Like, I'm really hoping in Andor we're going to get more of that. Like, that almost had me wondering, you know, Reva, if she doesn't die in this series, could she be somebody that possibly pops up in Andor in that series? I mean, I was even kind of thinking Tala at one point, but I think Tala's dead. I don't think there's any saving Tala, right? Blowing off that grenade and what was the droid there that was with her, he dead too. Like, they're dead. We got some awesome scenes of Vader in this, you know, obviously when he's approaching Reva, the scene of him just kind of on the bridge, the scene of him anointing her as Grand Inquisitor, I thought was kind of cool. Some very cool Vader just moments in this episode, with the mask on and off, right? Because technically we get Anakin with it off. I thought that was kind of neat, getting more of that, right? When in live action, have we ever really had that? I mean, I guess you could argue and say, okay, well, we had that in Revenge of the Sith because we see him at the end. But in this episode, we straight up had both versions of Anakin / Darth Vader. We had them both. We had young Anakin, and then we had, you know, pretty fall and as Padawan Anakin. And then we also had Anakin as Darth Vader. I don't think we haven't had that yet in live action. Like, that's awesome. I didn't even think of that till right now. What a great moment this episode kind of afforded. Especially, you know, last episode really was a little bit more of that filler. This episode was really like, all right, we're progressing that story forward. Who else? We got some interesting stuff with, what's his name? Haja, with Obi-Wan giving him the saber and the gun and him kind of saying like, he feels what it's like now to be on the run. He feels like a Jedi. Whether or not he's going to become that, you know, I don't know. I kind of hope they don't go that route. But it was cool just kind of seeing that character and kind of where he is, now. Lola, you know, gets kind of redeemed with Leia. Well, first of all, Lola really does what Lola was kind of meant to be doing by Reva, and that's kind of lock down the facility to lead to the battle that we see. But Leia is able to realize what's happening, and Lola gets her moment coming back and being the savior. I love the scenes with the troopers. You know, we had a lot of stormtroopers in this episode. Of course, just getting cut down so easily as always. But, you know, hey, we're never going to get those badass troopers, I'm sure. But they are the 501st, right? The legitimate on-screen 501st. They're Vader's fist. That's who it is. So I thought that was kind of neat. You know, overall, great episode. You know, really kind of pushing, I think, the narrative of where we could be going, which really that's kind of what I want to know. Like, we got one episode left. I saw a story today saying that the cast really wants a second season. There's already been rumors of that as the season has kind of been going on. You know, I hope we get that. I don't know what else there's going to be to tell beyond this. Are we going to get a Vader-Obi-Wan battle here at the end? You know, as much as I want to see it, it's kind of like we had that. I don't know where the story goes. I don't know what they do with Reva now having that knowledge, because they really zoomed in hard on Luke. Reva knows Owen, and she knows an Owen on Tatooine. She's already encountered Owen right on Tatooine. We've already had that moment. We also know the Grand Inquisitor is alive, so that kind of, you know, gets rid of his potential death and what people were freaking out over the breaking of canon with Rebels. So it's obviously it didn't happen. But I don't know. You know, I don't know if she, what does she do with that knowledge? Does she take it to Obi-Wan, which really wouldn't be the case? Does she just go to Owen and then something happens there? You know, having somebody out of the fold, out of the mix with that knowledge is dangerous. And, you know, I guess she could try to redeem herself and take that information to Vader, but we don't see that story ever, you know, and it doesn't seem like that's the case, that Vader would necessarily know that. Although, Vader knowing, I am your father, that's the hook, maybe, right? That's the information. Do we know how Vader knows Luke, that he's Luke's father in Empire? Do we know that? Am I just being stupid right now and totally missing something? Or is this where he gets that information and he leaves him alone? I don't know. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what this setup is that how does Vader know that Luke is his son? I mean, Obi-Wan maybe tells him in their fight, in their battle. I don't know. Like, I don't think we get that. I mean, you would assume he would just sense it, right? But maybe that's that confirmation of why doesn't he act on it? Like, maybe that's what this next episode is going to be. Why doesn't he act on that knowledge of Luke being his son? Maybe I'm missing it, and just like I said, being dumb and not remembering something from A New Hope or somewhere else in Empire. But maybe Reeve is the one that tells him. Interesting. I don't know. We're gonna have to wait and see. But let me know your thoughts on what you think. Of course, always email me, hit me up on Twitter. That's the best way to get in touch. Really, Twitter's probably the best way to get in touch with me, because we can just straight up have a conversation right then and there. But wow, very interesting. So, all right, let's wrap it up there. Probably going to get another episode out, I'm thinking tomorrow. Probably going to put another one out. We'll talk about some of this Xbox Bethesda stuff, some impressions on Starfield, Diablo 4, and maybe I'm going to hold off on Turtles. I played some Turtles earlier today, but I think we'll wait till Monday's episode. But I will get another episode out to you tomorrow, just because we missed the one this week. I do want to get that out. So until then, everybody, have a great rest of your day, and we'll catch you next time.